You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Adam, now get a sense of what's happening elsewhere in the world. Adam, very good morning to you. Let's go to Hong Kong. I mean, these demonstrations are just... Where is it all going to end, do you think?
Morning. That's the worry. It's a worrying question, isn't it? Where does this end? Does this end with a suppression of the people and their voices pro-democracy? There again, are you barking up the wrong tree in any Chinese territory asking for democracy? So at the moment, it's still a standoff at this university, although hundreds of people have got out, 120 people taken to hospital, which will tell you that they weren't treated too kindly as they left, rubber bullets and tear gas being fired. Some people also were allowed to leave under escort, essentially, at this Polytechnic University campus. But we know that as I speak, there are 100 people inside the campus, barricaded in, with armed police on the outside. This isn't just the lone 100. There are many, many more in Hong Kong who absolutely want more autonomy and not to be subsumed into the Chinese state, although you could argue that's already happened. But interesting as well, the Chinese ambassador to London, Liao Xiaoming, has told Britain, and indeed any other nations, to stop siding with the protesters, don't meddle in the affairs of Hong Kong, and basically to back off on any interference. It's a slightly chilling warning, but I guess we've had those before from China, and they haven't always come about. They are, fingers crossed, still people, aren't they?
It's a complete disaster for them, whichever way you look at it. Now, yesterday, you and I spoke about Prince Andrew and that interview. Yeah. I saw some of it, and as I watched it, I kept thinking, Adam was right. Why on earth did he do this?
It was embarrassing, wasn't it, somehow? You're thinking, this is a guy who, what, thought he was clearing the slate or something? Quite exactly what was going through his head, don't know, because, yeah, as you say, it was just... extraordinary own goal, or a car crash, or a train wreck, as various people have described. But the aftermath now continues because, for instance, we've had overnight a new accuser step forward in New York. A woman called Jane Doe is accusing the late Jeffrey Epstein of viciously sexually assaulting her when she was just 15. She's appeared at a press conference with the lawyer Gloria Allred. And this woman, who only identifies herself as Jane Doe at this stage, says she wants Prince Andrew to come to New York and testify and share information that he might have, bearing in mind he said he was matey with Epstein for quite some time. Some of the stuff also that came out of the interview about Prince Andrew having been to all three of Epstein's homes, demonstrating no compassion for any of the victims. He didn't mention any of the victims, Prince Andrew, which does not sit well. So as I say about the aftermath, an accountancy firm, KPMG, has now severed their association with him. An insurance company, Aon, it's an energy company, not insurance, an energy company, Aon, is asking for Prince Andrew's logo to be removed from their site. I know of at least two companies that are having board meetings next week who are, again, thinking again about whether they want Prince Andrew to be associated with them. Unfortunately, for the Queen's second son, this doesn't just end with a really terrible interview.
Yeah, I mean, it's extraordinary. I mean, the details, things like, after the Falklands, he used to sweat quite a bit, but not anymore. It's just really, really bizarre.
Yeah.
Talk to me.
Being shot at, does it actually stop you sweating? I have no idea if that's a medical thing, but Prince Andrew certainly claimed it.
All right, a racist Dutch tradition.
That's certainly the claim. I suppose for 150 to 200 years or so, people didn't worry too much, but we live in a different age, and quite right too, that they have to think again. It's the festival of Sinterklaas, which in the Netherlands, St. Nicholas basically does his journey. He smiles benevolently at children, etc., etc., but accompanied by his sidekick, servant-slash-apprentice, Zwarte Piet, Black Piet. And since the early 19th century, this has been going on, and Black Piet has usually been depicted as of Moorish appearance with a black face, which has often meant a white bloke putting on black makeup. Yep. Here we go. So across Dutch towns and cities, they've had Sinterklaas, which is a joyous festival thing, but there have been protests, and understandably so. But in this day and age, is it right that white blokes put black makeup on, even if it is a 200-year-old tradition, or possibly even older than that? But in Apeldoorn, for instance, there was a particular protest by people saying, you know, it is a racist appearance, they believe. other towns have done this, though, where, forget the black makeup, they just had a little bit of coal dust on the face, just depicting sort of servant-apprentice kind of nature. Does that perhaps solve it, that just a little bit of coal dust instead of the black makeup, keep the tradition, which is essentially about fun, but in this day and age, without it appearing to be racist?
It's 2019. That's the difference, really. It's 2019. Adam Gilchrist from London.